Hello and welcome to Squid Pro Quo, a Squid Game podcast where there are only three rules. One, a player is not allowed to stop podcasting. Two, a player who refuses to podcast will be eliminated. And three, the podcast will be terminated if the majority agrees. I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And Sean,
Merry Christmas.
This episode is releasing on Christmas Day. Merry Christmas if you celebrate. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy holidays.
Whatever your holiday is of choice. But it is a Squid Game Christmas here on Squid Pro Quo.
It is a Squid Game Christmas that ends with murder.
And we have a few gifts for you this Christmas.
We do? There's gifts under the tree?
Yeah, we do. We're basically just going to cover the episode.
That's the gift. The gift.
The finale.
Is that we cover this shitty now.
One lucky day. But before we get to that, I just want to remind you guys, we talked about this last episode. But this episode is releasing on Christmas Day, and then our follow-up episode where we kind of talk about, like, the different behind-the-scenes stuff, and we talk about, you know, different things people brought up that were spoilery during the time, and now we're gonna go over the show again in a bonus episode sometime after the new year. Look for it in mid to late January would be my guess. So the fun with the Squid Boys is not done yet. We're not fucking leaving! So look forward to that. And I just also want to say, before we get into our email that we got, I really appreciate all the love and support we've gotten for this podcast. Whether you were already a fan of the Squid Boys through the first season or through Sean and I's other ventures, it's been a real treat to cover this show. And you laugh at ventures?
I don't know why it makes me think of us as, like, in suits, like we're businessmen, dude.
Like,
I'm glad that you have continued to support us on our multiple ventures that we've gone out on.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman.
Right. That's a joke from BoJack, isn't it?
I think it's a Jay-Z lyric.
I feel like it's also a BoJack joke.
It might be a...
maybe a reference to a Jay-Z lyric in BoJack.
Well, what's the Vincent and Daltman? That might be a Vincent and Daltman thing.
That's maybe what I'm thinking of.
Anyway, good time to plug our BoJack podcast. What is this, a crossover episode, which will be continuing once the completion of Squid Game the Challenge is done. We are on season two, going into season three. So if you like us, you might like this BoJack Horseman podcast that we do.
And just to double back around on, like... the second season of this podcast has been a massive success, and we were not expecting that. So thank you, everybody, who's been listening and hanging out and joining the Discord and doing all the talky bits. We enjoy it. Did you like the talky bits? You didn't laugh.
I didn't laugh at talky bits, no.
I think you meant to laugh and you forgot is what I think happened.
No. Here's the thing. I don't just laugh at, like, regular vernacular and things you say like you do to me I say ventures and you're like, oh, he said ventures. I don't do that when you say talky bits.
I'm really proud of what we did here, Mike. Because I think as well there
me
was,
too.
Like, not to talk about you people.
Humility and gratitude,
humility,
Sean.
Humility and gratitude. I'm going to throw that aside for a second. And, you know, you guys have given us a lot of support, but we're not talking about ourselves enough. And I just think, Mike, you know, I think that going into this, these episodes could have been a lot worse than they were if we hadn't had.
Oh, you think we did a good job?
I think we did a
pretty
good job.
There's some people in the Discord talking about how they think we could get certain contestants on the show.
I feel like we.
How do you feel about that?
I think we could, mostly because I don't think anybody else is covering this show.
So, like, if I reach out to Trey,
I think so. I know that some of them have done some, like, bigger interviews and stuff, but I feel like we could probably get. I don't think we could get any of the final, like, three.
You don't think we could get Phil?
Phil might do it.
I don't want Sam, but I think we could get.
See,
Phil.
I think what, and I don't when want you my. Say those kinds of things, I think it makes them probably think maybe I don't want to go. But
They're not going to listen beforehand.
That's true.
That's crazy.
But
I
think that there's a world where we were really disinterested in it. And I guess this isn't really patting ourselves on the back, but more I'm glad that we got invested because I think it made this a lot more fun to do. And there's definitely a world where this would have just felt like we're doing this because it's more a Squid Game.
Oh, we got to finish it. You know, but no, we don't feel like that at all.
I'm sad it's over as well. I think that maybe we'll talk about this.
You don't like this episode, but you're sad it's over.
I don't love this episode. I think that I guess this is a, we'll talk more about this. I guess we could talk about the season overall when we do our bonus episode a bit, but I do think that like, I enjoyed the first like three quarters of it more than the ending. And I don't know if that's a failure of the show. Cause as I'm racking my brain with it, I really don't know how they could have done it differently, you know, like to make it more engaging. It's just, the nature I think of reality TV when like, the real characters are gone early, you know, which is something that we've talked about, and we're left with just like the reality part of the TV show. You know,
right
but yeah, so you said we had an email and we did have one message from the Discord. Since I'm already talking, I'll just continue talking, Mike. Azzy Angel in the Discord said, I don't know if that question from episode 7 or was it 8, I don't know if it's still up, but if I was in the back of the group talking about the bridge game, I'd still agree to the 50-50 chance thing, even if I was number 17. But if I was one, I would run across all the glass before it dropped out from under.
Just like, you can't make it drop if I run.
Well, I think that's like, I don't remember if we talked about this on the actual show, like when we covered it, but it's the question of, they probably just would have shot them, right? Like in the actual show.
Oh, like in the actual show. If they tried that.
Because I think we...
Well, no, didn't someone do that in the actual show?
I don't think so.
I think someone does. I think in the scripted show, someone does that and they just happen... One of the pieces they step on breaks.
They do try. I think what I was wondering is if they could have tried to walk the steel beams. And I think that would have gotten you shot. But I was also thinking that with this one, I was like, you could just not walk on the glass. Like, there was a lot of room on this one, especially. You know?
Yeah, but that's kind of...
Yeah,
not
the game is to agree.
You know? And the game is to agree. So.
I feel like that's the best thing we've gotten out of this show, is the game is to agree. I think we're going
to
be saying that for a long, long time.
Yes. Our email is, again, from Kim and Landon. And they actually sent this the day after we recorded the last episode, kind of as an addendum to the previous email, because it says, one more thing. Landon was curious about the fact that Chase and Steven were numbers 242 and 243, Trey and Leanne were 301 and 302, B and Amanda were 18 and 19, and Chad and Mai were 286 and 287. Now, we know based on interviews that Steven and Chase were pre-show besties. Leanne and Trey probably knew each other before, just a hunch. So he was thinking perhaps that B and Amanda and Chad and Mai may also have known each other before, which would make sense based on Mai's emotions at the end of episode 8.
I hadn't thought about that.
Also considered that B and Amanda and Chad and Mai also could have met early because of number placement and formed an early bond. Thoughts to ponder. So thank you. Thank you, Kim and Landon, again. I do think, you know, I hadn't thought about that either. I do think, obviously, they put Trey and Leanne and Mullet Man and his buddy Chase together because they did know each other. But I do think it's I think they'd mention if Mai and Chad knew each other, or if Amanda and B had known each other. Now, Amanda and B, it could be because they're both British,
and we all know that there's only like 5 people that live on that that island.
It's like the smallest island. Yeah. Like, how they act like a million billion people live there, and it's like, I feel like there's like 100 people
on that
live there.
Island,
tops. So maybe they knew each other. I actually don't think that's the case, though. I think it's what they said at the end of the email. What Kim said at the end of the email is that they probably just got close because they were next to each other. I think Amanda and B actually mention that they were next to each other during red light, green light.
I wonder if they lined up red light, green light by number.
See, I'm trying to think. I don't know if they did, because early on in red light, green light, Lorenzo is talking to Brighton and some other mook who gets eliminated. And their numbers weren't anywhere close to each
other. I'll be real. You know what I bet actually is the case is for the bureaucracy of all this, I bet they had to line up by number a million times for all sorts of different things. I bet there were a million, like, hey, line up by number for this, line up by number for that. Like not even stuff that we saw on the show, just like to talk to a producer for a minute or do whatever.
Right, or take photos.
Yeah, like, I bet there was all sorts of stuff where they just, I mean, when you have the contestant numbering built in like that, why not just use it to make your organization run a lot easier, more easily?
That's very smart, Sean. You're probably right.
You want to talk about this episode?
I'd love to. This episode starts off with, you know, the three players we have left kind of getting ready. And Sam says, and this will probably hurt his chances of coming on the pod ever, maybe the dumbest thing I've heard in a while. And he says, player 451 is my best friend left in the game. In a talking head. There's only one other person, yeah. Dude.
It's just...
Like, what do you mean?
It continues to be the thing about this show that drives me craziest. Because he goes on to say it again, like, oh, the only one I can trust in this competition is Phil, who's left, right? I don't think I can trust Mai. I'm like, you can't trust any of them. There are three of you.
Right.
This is a competition. Like, I don't.
Well, and also, you can just say, hey, Phil and I are friends, and Mai and I are not. You don't have to say, Phil is my best friend left in this competition. It's a pretty low bar for him to step over, Sam. There's only three people left, and you are one of them.
And the other one is somebody you actively don't like.
Right. Like, it's like, what do you mean he's my best friend left in the competition? Like, it's just, Sam says things, and I know we don't get to know him super well as much, at least we get to know Mai or Phil, but he just says things that make me go, this guy's not super bright.
And,
like,
I would also...
And maybe I'm wrong.
I would also hazard a guess that, like, I'm sure, by way of editing, right, like, the editors pick the lines that sound like the most drama filled, right?
Right.
And
right.
So, like, I'm sure if we listened to everything that these people said, you know, it wouldn't come across like this. But the way that the editors have picked and chosen the voice clips that we've gotten from these people, it has driven me a little crazy on the whole, just the whole trust angle. And really not, seemingly not treating this like the game that it is. And I feel like that's probably partially the edit, but it does every time it come up. I always write down a note of it. I'm like, there's fucking three of you left in this competition for $4.5 million. Like, she might betray you. Like, duh. Like, fucking, she wants to win. You want to win. Like, it's weird.
Yeah. So the episode moves on to what is, in my opinion, is the best part of the episode, where they do this like montage of showing all the games, and they use this cool editing effect to make only the three players left, the ones who are in color, and everybody else is in grayscale. And it's really cool because it's like, it's almost like a, I thought about this earlier when I was thinking about the episode. It's almost like an Agatha All Along bit, you know, like, oh, they were there all along,
I like that.
You know,
I
like
that.
Not.
Yeah.
That's what it made me think of, but it's pretty cool looking, and they do like this kind of like, they like drop some of their sound bites they've said over the show over it, and it's really well edited. It reminds me also of like a WWE hype
package.
It kind of
does, doesn't it?
Because they're like the best in the business at doing those kind of hype packages, you know, and it's a bit, you know, it's building hype for the episode, and the unfortunate thing is that they didn't really have a lot to build for, because I think you and I both agree that this episode, for being the final episode, is missing a lot of the excitement that you would expect out of a finale of a big game like this. But this montage is really cool. They show Phil eliminating Brad and you know, all like the effect is really cool to me. I really like that they're the only people in color or the only part in color. Like it just really like it's a really striking looking thing, you know.
Yeah, it's a nice hype reel, like you said. I mean, it comes down to it's weird, right? Because a lot of what about this episode doesn't work for me is, and I don't even know about doesn't work. Like, I'm trying to be very careful in the way that I say this because I don't want to be an asshole. But it comes down to who the last three people are. And what's weird is that, like, the stuff that makes those last three people be what doesn't work for me is that they all seem very kind. And I'm sure I would be very nice friends with them in real life. And I'd like to hang out with them. And I they all seem very cool. I have nothing against them. It's just the energy that... it's weird. The energy they're bringing to the end of this competition is very healthy, in a way. And right. That's not very exciting to watch. And so it's like this weird balancing act of both. I mean, we've talked about it a lot on this podcast, how it's kind of heartening to watch this show in that you're watching these people get put into this position where it really should be drama filled and exciting and like over the top. And instead they've pretty much at every corner pulled back a bit and for the most part and been like, calm down, like approach this, like, you know, not from a crazy person point of view. And while that is like heartening to watch and it's like, oh, these guys seem like really cool people and it endears them to me as people. It's like, okay, it kind of just ends, you know, right. It just kind of is like,
I agree.
It just flows to an ending instead of like being really riveting. And
we'll talk about the final game when we get to it, but I think it's a big part of it. So when we get there, we'll talk about it more. So after this, hype package, they get handed their outfits for the evening, which is similar to how the scripted show works. And we get a talking head from Phil where he talks about how he's worked a lot of odd, low-paying jobs in his life and how he'd use the money to help out people that have helped out him because he's never been really ever to pay that forward. And they set up the dorm like they did in the scripted show with this triangle shaped table and all this fine dining and candles, and they get to have a good meal.
So,
and it's steak.
I don't know. I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, but I think this doesn't work either. The dinner.
Like their interactions during the
dinner? I just think this whole idea, the idea of doing the dinner just doesn't work. The excitement of the dinner in the show is somebody's going to get a knife, you know, like that is what it just doesn't translate to this. And the way that they act, like you brought up, is they're kind of just, what's your life story? What's your life story? What's your life story? And it's like, you guys have been here how long? You guys act like you already know each other. Like, I don't buy that this is the first time you're asking each other these questions. Like, this is going to sound very weird. The suits are really cheap looking. They don't look good on them. Like, did you notice that? Or was that just me? Like, their ties looked fucking bad.
I didn't.
Like.
Yeah, I feel like. Yeah, my looks
I
tough.
Think all of them look tough,
not
to
because
be honest.
It's a, she just flashed on screen for me because I'm kind of like watching this muted while we're talking about it. Her tie is crooked really badly. No one corrected it for her.
And like. Okay, I'm also, I'm a big bow tie guy. I like bow ties. And so just seeing all their bow ties, they all look awful. I'm like, come on. It's Netflix. You guys could make them look a little bit nicer for this final dinner thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know. I think the game that we'll talk about in a minute that they eventually end up playing is kind of interesting and would have been more interesting for me if I hadn't been spoiled. But just the idea that we're going to sit all these people down at a table together and like have a final meal just doesn't, I don't know. I don't know if it's the way that they shoot it or the way that they, or what, but it just, It doesn't work.
So basically what you're saying, Sean, is you wanted one of them to murder the other.
Maybe. I know. I think partly it's like... Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like it's taking something from the actual show and being like, that's iconic, so we have to do it, but it doesn't work. Transition to this. And I think it's weird that they made that choice when we've seen they didn't do Tug of War. And as we're going to see later on, they don't play Squid Game. So, like,
right.
To me, it's like, okay, so you realized at those two points that this isn't going to work. Like, I guess maybe this is just a reward for the contestants. But
yeah,
like,
it's I think that's it. They're rewarding them. Like, say, they haven't had a meal this good in a long time.
It's a big part of the episode, I think, is the problem. More so.
Well, here's the thing, too, that I think that maybe you're underselling a little bit is... I don't know that they succeed, but they're trying to lull them into a false sense of security. Like, they have multiple times with this.
I guess.
You know, and I clearly none of them are like, oh, one of us is going to have to stab the other.
No,
like,
yeah.
That's not, you know, but they're, you know, they're kind of like letting them live life and eat a good meal. And then they go, hey, by the way, in the middle of this, you're going to have to figure out which one of you is leaving.
I like that idea. I guess I just don't know that I would have wanted it to go for 20 something minutes like it does.
Yeah, it does go for a while. And I think they're banking on the fact that we are going to find some of these people more interesting than we do.
Like, okay, that's fair. If it's Brighton and Lorenzo and like.
See, but your problem is you want just psychopaths. Yeah. And I don't know that that's how the world works.
I wish it was.
Because, like, to me, it's like, okay, like, yes, those guys were entertaining in this show. But to me, that's, like, that's the experience you're going to get with the scripted show.
I guess my thing as well, though, is I get, okay, we got to have the iconic design, right? Like, it's got to look like what it looked like in the show. But again, my problem with that is that the reason it looks like that in the show is because of the tension, right? They're sitting right. Far apart from each other, and it's kind of, you're watching, you're like, oh, fuck, is somebody going to get up and, like, rush? Like, it's just, it's taking something from the original show, but it to me, it can't work because the tension of the original show isn't there. And so I think
no one's going to kill each other, which is what you want.
I don't even know if it's so much what I want, but it's more what this set is framed for. What the idea of this all is.
Well, Sean, but hold on, though, because they don't kill each other during the dinner.
No, but they want you to think that they might. Like, that's the tension. You don't know.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, shit, they've got knives. Like, you're afraid of what is going to happen during the dinner. And, like, them being so far apart from each other is kind of, like, part of that. And I think that, like, I think you could have done the dinner thing maybe without doing a one-to-one recreation of, like, the set. Like, having them so far apart from each other, and it just, it feels like they want me to feel tense and I wasn't.
Gotcha. During this, we get a couple talking heads. We get one from Sam where he talks about his problematic relationship with his family who aren't supportive of his sexual orientation and who he is. Which is sad, and you know, he talks about how his dad died and that made it easier for him to escape, but his mom has continuously let him down when he's tried to let her in. We get one from Mai where she talks about how she had some issues with her family because she got pregnant at 19, and how that was really tough, and she cries a little bit about that. And then in between that, we get some small talk about, you know, they ask, oh, what's your life like? What's your life like? And they, you know, do that, and it's... To your point, it's mostly uninteresting. But I feel like they probably felt tension in the moment.
I'm sure they are very anxious about what is about to happen.
But for television purposes, it's not super great.
It's
But eventually...
I want to just really quickly, like... The stories that they tell are all very meaningful and very powerful. And you know, I mean, no offense... to any of them, like, you know, saying, like, that they're, it's not the most interesting group of last final people. But I guess just to make very clear what I mean by that is, like, well, these are people that...
They're not psychopaths.
Exactly. The idea of... It almost makes the show a little more uncomfortable in, like, oh, man, these people, like, all have really painful lives, and it's like it makes it feel more exploitative when they're people that I can empathize to than if it's just a couple of psychopaths like competing for money at the end, you know?
See, I feel fine because I still don't like mine. Yeah. That's okay. The guard comes out, and there was a big tray in the middle that they remove the lid on, and there's three buttons: a circle, a triangle, and a square. One button, when you push it, will turn gray, which means nothing happens. One button, when you push it, will turn red, which means you're eliminated. And one button will turn green, which means you get to pick the player that comes to the final round with you. And so Jip and I were arguing about this a little bit in the Discord, because he said there was no reason for Mai to go first, because she likes to go first.
She has to go first. And
she has to
go first. Yeah, no, that's the... She 100%... Jip take, dude. What a fucking
has
Jip
to go
take.
First.
Everybody go bully Jip. Don't,
because
don't do that.
Because if Sam goes first, Sam has a 66% chance of getting what he wants there, right? Because he's either going to get the green and take Phil with him, or he's going to get the gray and nothing happens. Same with Phil, right? So she, to her, that is like a 66% chance she's going to lose. Cause then, I mean, I guess she could be the next to go and get the green, right? But like, she just has, if either of them go and get the green, she's done. There's no question about it. They're not going to pick her. So she has to go first. Like, if she doesn't go first, her probability of succeeding goes down tremendously. And I think the only reason Jip is arguing that is because she goes and gets the gray button. But, like, that's still, it did lower her, I guess it lowers her chances if, like, if she gets the gray button, then it's a 50-50 chance for one of them, right? So it does lower her chance in that. But she had to go first.
Yeah, no, she had to go first.
Because giving them the first thing, it's ridiculous to me that neither of them tried to go, well, no, wait, hold on, maybe I should go first. Yeah. Like to me, they are, and similar to what we'll see later in the show, they just are not thinking about playing this game properly where she is.
It's because they don't want to get eliminated. I think it's the idea of they're viewing elimination as the red button. And in a way, she's viewing elimination as anything except for her hitting the green button. Right?
Right.
It's for them, they have the other out. Somebody else can press the button. Like, for them, it's, okay, Mai can go up there, hit the button, hit the red one. She's out. Okay, Sam can go up and hit the button, get the green one. I'm in. For her, it's, if I don't hit that green button, I'm probably not going to win, or I'm probably going to be eliminated. I'm going to be eliminated unless one of them hits the red button. Like, it's just, she doesn't have as many, you know, avenues for a win.
She doesn't. Exactly. So lucky for her, Sam goes next and he gets the red button. So she lucks out, but I think she made the right choice. I don't think there's any other way there. Even if she gets the gray button and Sam goes and gets the green button, she still made the right choice. It just didn't work out for her.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's nothing else she could have done there. But Sam's done. He's gone.
As we say goodbye to Sam, I want to just highlight what I thought was a very funny thing that he said in this episode, where they're getting the knives and stuff, and Phil goes, "We agreed, no stabbing." And he goes, "I didn't agree to anything."
Sam, literally going to stab
Phil. And you know what? The show would have been better for it.
So Sam gets the talking head immediately after he's eliminated, and he's bawling, and it's really sad. And he goes, "To have that ripped away by random chance is just more than I can take." And it's a very sad thing.
It's very sad. One of the things that kind of frustrated me while watching this episode to me was how much Mai really hearkened on the, "We did it, we're the strongest players at the end. We made it because we're the best." Like, a lot of the people that went out because they were unlucky. Like, I don't know if it's you guys won because you're the strongest player. I'd like to think if I was in their position, I would have the self-perspective to be like, I am here mostly because of luck. I am here mostly because TJ jumped on the first glass and it broke. You know, like, I this isn't really a survival of the fittest kind of thing. You know, there were a couple that were, you know, required some skill to them and such, but a lot of the activities were pure luck.
Yeah. I also understand why she balls so much after Sam's elimination.
The only thing, like, I can think of is...
I get Phil being upset because they're friends, but, like, she's just, like, crying her eyes out and hugging Phil, and it's just like, oh, what an experience. I didn't get eliminated by hitting a button. I don't know. It just feels fake to me.
I think it's more of, like, a... Because I was thinking that as well, okay? I was also like, man, why is it, like, you know, why is she crying so hard? But then I was thinking about how I feel like I might react in that scenario, and, like, I have pretty bad anxiety as it is already. So I feel like that could just be an anxious response to, like, the stress of the situation of where she is in that moment and the being relieved of it, you know, by being like, oh, I get to make it into the ending.
I guess it's stressful, but, like, to me it's like you just got the most unlikely outcome and you're still in.
I get that, yes, it's an illogical reaction for her to have there. Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But I think that is kind of like, it's such a stressful situation that is just how her body responded, was like, just to cry. Not so much a logical thing, but more just like, we do weird things sometimes in response to anxiety and stress and being put into these kinds of situations. So I guess that was my perspective on why maybe she reacted the way that she did.
Sean, all I'm saying is that I would have been singing Hit the Road Jack to Sam and not crying.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair, you know?
You know.
I don't know what I would have done.
So he's gone, and they put the money into the piggy bank, and then the next day, I think it is, they lower the piggy bank down for them to go look at it, and they go and look at it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. Wow, that's the money that was really high in the air, and now it's lower.
It's a weird.
Oh no,
it's not
the next day. It's night. It's before. Yeah, it's at night, and then they go to bed with the piggy bank down there.
I feel like it's also pretty crazy that they, like, just like, here's the money, go to sleep. Like, I feel like that's kind of a, like, oh, okay, wow.
It's pretty wild. They make them wear the suits still because that's what happened in the show. So they got to put the suits back on. And then they're gonna get walked to the final game.
Yes.
Not wasting any time here.
Yeah, they go straight to it. And can I do the honors of the final game?
Sure.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It's fucking rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
Look, I get it.
Well, it's rock, paper, scissors with a twist.
They try. And I'll give them that. Yeah. The twist is pretty good, I think. I think that, like, that works. And it makes it more exciting. And I get, like, you talked about it. I think you were trying to set me up for it last episode, where you were like, you know, obviously they can't knife each other to death in the finale, so they have to do something that's, like, that keeps them so that they aren't physically interacting because it's too big of a situation. I don't know that rock, paper, scissors was the choice. I almost feel like this is a case of, like, wanting to subvert expectations. And it, for me, did not work.
I just don't know what they could have done.
I also don't know.
I don't have a better idea, I guess. And so I'm like, okay, rock, paper, scissors. Now, for season two, do they need to come up with a better fucking idea?
Yeah.
Absolutely, they do.
Yeah.
And what's really disappointing about this is it's very anticlimactic because Phil, like, doesn't try.
Yeah.
He he talks about how he doesn't really have any strategy. He's just kind of throwing shit out there. And she's like, yeah, I'm remembering what he played last. Now, yeah, it is a bit of a game of chance, right? But like, there are patterns in it. There are things you can do.
Yeah.
If you ever want to win one round of rock, paper, scissors, Sean, this is how you win. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
You tell them, you say you're going to play rock.
Yeah.
You go, I'm playing rock. Because what the human brain is going to do is go, he wouldn't really tell me he's playing rock if he's going to play rock. So they don't play paper, they play scissors.
Right.
And then you play rock anyway. Yeah. Because you said,
yeah,
you were
psyched
going to,
him out.
Right? Right, you psyched him out. It only works one time. So it's got to be, it's like a one or done rock, paper, scissors moment. But it will work every time.
Yeah.
I've never failed.
Unfortunately for them, they needed more than one win.
Yes.
In order to do this.
And Phil, I think they show Phil winning once or twice.
Yeah.
It's tough. She kind of dominates him. And it's just very anticlimactic. They try to spice it up with the music and the shots.
I just don't think it works.
No, I don't either. The throwing the keys on the ground.
They try. They try. And I just don't. I think it's like, all right, doesn't really work. You guys better, you know, take another pass at it next time.
Yeah. So Mai just dominates Phil and Mai wins. The worst timeline. She somehow just continually stumbled her way forward throughout this game. And she just got pretty lucky that in rock, paper, scissors, she was up against someone who is just not a very competitive person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he just seems like, because she has to beat him so many times to find the right key.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
And they
work.
Do this thing where when they go grab the key, and then they do this, like, head down, incredibly slow walk to the safe. And it's just like their hands are shaking. And I get it. It's for millions of dollars. I don't blame them for the handshaking. But it's just, it's so redundant. And it just doesn't work as like a high, obviously they couldn't do Squid Game, right?
Yeah.
We talked about this. They couldn't do something like where it's a physical competition, because for $4.56 million, I'm doing whatever I need to do in a physical game to win, right?
Yeah.
If you're playing one-on-one basketball, I'm elbowing you in the mouth.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way, you know.
I'll spend $100,000 on your fucking dental
right.
cost when you sue me. That's okay. You know, like.
Exactly, right? Well, I'll settle out of court.
Yeah.
I'm winning, you know?
Yeah.
So they can't do that. They literally cannot. And you can't. You don't want it to get, like, too heady, because that would be weird to be like, oh, we're playing a trivia game, or, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't, so they are in a tough spot here. I do, while I think they missed the mark, I don't know that it's an easy mark to hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't have a better answer for them.
I feel like it was the kind of thing where it's like, they probably were like, I'm sure when they decided we're going to do rock, paper, scissors, they also were like, really? But they were like, all right, you know, like, they did the best that they could with it, at least. They added some twist to it. Like, I think this is the best version of rock, paper, scissors that you can get for a dramatic finale.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's just like, next time, you know, maybe, you know, you guys have had some time to think about it. Let's try something different.
Right. I'm pretty sure after my one for, like, the 10th time, one of the guards next to the safe, I heard him go, this fucking sucks. Like, I'm pretty sure I heard that.
That was you.
Oh, it was me. I was the guard.
Yeah.
But yeah, so eventually, I'm watching it live right now while we're talking about it, and I was like, this needs to be over, and it's still not. Phil wins at least three times. That's what I've seen. So she unlocks the safe and wins $4.56 million. And he's like, he's a good guy. He's like, congratulations, Mai.
Uh-huh.
And they hug. And she's sobbing. And it's, you know, I I said I'm not as big a fan of her game and as big a fan of her, but, you know, good for her for getting the W. And she talks about how anything's possible, and it's a nice message. You got to pick yourself up, blah, 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 you know. And it's a nice message. And then they do, like, what the second best part of the episode is, and they do this reality show kind of trope.
Yeah.
Where they, like, where are they now?
I kind of liked right? that.
Yeah. But they do it, they're not as, most reality shows I've watched, whether it's like a baking competition show or, you know, whatever it might be, they're pretty heavy-handed with it. Uh-huh. And this one's a little more cinematic.
It's very much as like, let's look at these people.
Right. And it just kind of, it doesn't go, Brighton went back to college and got his degree. Like, it just kind of shows, hey, Brighton does push-ups still.
Yeah.
You know, to like music. And I really enjoyed that aspect of it, right?
Yeah, I really liked it a lot.
We meet Brighton. We get Trey and Leanne playing table tennis, which is great. We get Sam doing something with a stuffed animal. TJ's coaching youth basketball, and he hits a full court shot. we got Chad kissing his wife.
Yep. Before he goes out.
And riding a moped.
Yeah. What a legend.
Felicia feeding her dogs. We get Rick tending to his bees. And I just want to point out, I was fucking right. He came back. You can say I was wrong all you want. Rick, I said Rick's going to show up in the last episode. Now, is this what I meant? Absolutely not. But I'm still right.
Mike, you are the real winner of Squid Game.
I am. My hasn't even been paid yet, so, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll get the money. We see Mullet Steven with his family. You know, it's cute. We get
B
Ashley drinking.
Yeah, we see B.
Phil on his boat.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's a good look for Phil. He goes scuba diving. Yeah.
We didn't get
Spencer eating a cookie.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't get to see Lorenzo, which I think is probably because he threatened to poison the water supply if they came anywhere near his house.
Right. B's just kind of looking at a Ferris wheel, and then we get Mai.
Yeah, I didn't like this part. I thought this part was stupid.
So
I get what they were going for. I just thought it was stupid.
She does the Squid Game thing where she puts the card in the ATM and your account balances this, right? Yep. And she's like, hell yeah. And then they do what is actually the coolest part of this. They do, like, they go back to the
I like
the
this part. This
is,
I thought was good. I thought this part was good.
And the people waiting outside for the, you know, and they got the fucking, the cards. Everybody's getting the cards.
Yeah.
Deep, boop, beep, boop, 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 beep, boop. And it's like, oh, shit. And it's like, casting is now open. And you're like, oh, fuck, right?
The game goes on.
I thought that was really cool.
I liked that a lot.
A cool way of doing that. And they're like, are you ready to play Squid Game? SquidGameCasting.com.
Yeah.
Which SquidGameCasting.com sounds like a porno site or something.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I mean?
Sound
like they needed a better URL there. That one's pretty. Oh, making Squid Game starting on its own. I don't want that. but yeah, so they what's really, I wasn't against the card in the ATM moment. Because it's a moment in the show, right?
Yeah, I get what they're going for.
But then I found out that she hasn't gotten paid yet. And the fact that they later on had her shoot that, and then she didn't go, so when am I getting paid? Because from what I've read, she doesn't know when she's getting paid.
Oh, man.
What?
Oh, boy.
Chaney, a shout out to our guy Chaney, who watched the show because Chaney is a fan of Survivor like Pat, and they watched Survivor together. And Chaney was like, the ATM thing was stupid. I don't understand. She didn't get paid yet. And I was like, hey, you haven't seen the show, right? This is like a shot from the show. And he was like, oh, okay. They were like, oh, okay, that's fine. So
I mean, I get it. It's a shot from the show. I feel like I would have rather had just seen some of her life like we saw everybody else's, you know?
Yeah, but here's the thing about Mai. What actually, like, we didn't learn anything about what Mai likes to do. We learned about Mai's past, right?
Yeah.
We learned about Mai's troubled past, but I don't think we learned she has, like, grandkids, uh-huh. So she could have had, like, a moment with them, but they kind of did that with a few people where they were like, hey, kids, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. You want to show something to be like, she's the winner, she's living the life of luxury.
I guess I get
it,
yeah. You've convinced me, Mike.
She had a nice backyard.
She did.
Nice little swing back there. Yeah. I wonder if that was actually her backyard.
Probably not.
You know? Because in my head, I saw the backyard, I'm like, oh, damn, she went out with this money. Okay. And then I find out she doesn't even fucking have it yet. I don't even like Mai. Fucking pay her. Yeah. What are we doing here, Netflix?
Yeah.
When did they stop shooting? February?
I understood, like, Chaney was saying, like, oh, they tend to pay, like, other reality shows tend to be pretty good. I think they said that, like, Survivor pays at midnight after the finale airs. So, like,
right.
I get, like, okay, we're not going to pay you until the finale airs.
Because then it's giving it away that
you
want. Yeah,
but it's like, okay, how far are we away? We're over a week away from the thing having come out, and it sounds like the still hasn't happened. It's like, come on.
Yeah. Actually, a bit insane. So, yeah, I guess that's episode 10, season 1 of Squid Game The Challenge, Sean.
I can't believe we did it.
We did it.
I can't believe it.
We did it.
But we're not done yet.
We're not done yet. We'll be back sometime after the new year to talk about the making of and just stuff we found from random TikToks. And YouTubes and Twitch streams and what are other things people watch?
I don't know.
Kick streams,
no,
Facebook
no.
Live,
I hope,
Instagram.
I hope nobody's on Kick.
Grindr.
You think Grindr?
There might be somebody on Grindr. This was a pretty gay friendly show, Sean.
Yeah. Wait, are you saying? Hold on. Are you saying somebody watched our podcast through Grindr?
No. The Squid Game, not us.
Okay, wait.
We're not gay friendly.
Wait.
No, we are. I'm just kidding. Please don't cancel me. Please don't cancel me. I'm just kidding.
Wait, we are
definitely gay friendly.
But you're still saying that somebody watched a television show through a dating app?
No, I have no idea.
You
is
just
that
started
Grindr is?
Yeah, Grindr is a dating app.
I don't know,
isn't
dude.
It?
I'm fucking old. I don't know what things are. I knew it was something to do with the gays. I didn't know what it was.
Okay. We haven't plugged ourselves, but I want to vote to end the podcast.
Hey, it's okay.
Mike, where can people find
John,
you?
You don't want to give any final thoughts on this?
My final thoughts are listen to our wrap-up episode if you want my final thought. No. I really enjoyed the season. I'll talk more about it in depth in the wrap-up episode. Got to come up with a better ending next time.
Yeah. And I guess not even a better ending, but a more tense ending game. Because I do like how they kind of, like we said, the cinematic, like, here's this person doing Rick's beekeeping still, because of course he is, you know, and like that kind of shit. I liked that, but, and I liked that they kind of highlighted, you know, some of the most important people in the show. Like, they didn't show, like, oh, here's 198, he's answering a phone, you know, which actually, I think I might have liked that, actually. If they just show him answering like a payphone or something,
he's like, "I'm coming back."
It's like he still hasn't learned. Don't answer the phone.
Just like a Family Guy bit.
yeah, that would be incredible. Anyway, Sean, where can people find you? I just want to reverse.
Yeah, on Twitter at Sean_AFK.
And you can find me at Spike Getty Bros on Twitter and on Twitch.tv/SuperSpikeGettyBros. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
And I have a happy new year. We'll see you next year here on the Squid Pro Quo. Sean, I agree to end this episode.
I agree.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.